Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink.
What was that? It's the fucking Super Bowl special, Rocco. It's the Super Bowl special we're doing.
It sounded like Batman, like back in the fucking 60s.
That's what I thought. You know what it sounded like to me? It sounded like Hank Williams fucking Jr. doing Monday Night Football. We're doing the Super Bowl special tonight, Drinking Bros.
Yeah. Who the fuck are you going for?
Sports and
God
shit.
Yeah. Damn it, I love it. We are joined. It's a trio tonight. It's the three amigos tonight. It's just the three of us. It's it is Matthew Best, the best cheekbones in the biz, the tightest beard game in the biz. Welcome, Matthew.
It's tighter than my childhood before my uncle made it loose. That's weird. Let's start it off.
Jared's not even here, and you've already started off wrong.
I think I can smell it.
I have the coolest uncles ever, actually. But welcome, Ross. Good to be here, buddy.
Thank you for having your uncles on the show. Thank you.
Hey, it's the three amigos. We got to make this weird tonight, you know?
Yeah.
We do. We really got to make it weird tonight. We really got to thank our uncles tonight. Speaking of which, we've got Vincent Vargas, a.k.a. Rocco, on the show.
Hey, the Rock, I love you.
Again with that bullshit.
I'll stop.
No, it's fine. I'm fine. I'm sure he doesn't find it creepy. So,
no, he's
it's
good.
Not like he's blocking you on Instagram.
He's
totally
good.
Kidding.
He's
totally
good.
Kidding. and of course we have, you know, me, the largest penis in the biz,
the biggest
in
dick
the
of
biz,
all time,
Ross Patterson. And we got a couple sponsors tonight.
Who do we have?
As always,
lay it on us.
The finest whiskey in all of the lands. Lead Slinger's whiskey. People are driving. Hey, I'm going to be honest. After being at SHOT Show with you guys, people are driving 3-4 states to get that shit. It's a hard one to find these days. People love the Lead Slingers.
It's good.
We're working on getting it out there, man, but we just fucking love everybody that drinks our shit. Not hey, literally our feces, but our liquor.
Yeah,
you know?
No, but realistically, I can't wait till we get it
here in Wilmington, North Carolina. Right. I love it. Right. I love it.
Like, why would we put our name in if we didn't believe in what the fuck we sell?
Oh, damn.
Look, a lot of people don't.
Poppy mad
there, I'm just Jim. Saying. I love it. I know. I actually love the motherfucker.
I feel like Rocco was going to fight me right then.
No,
I was...
not you. Come on.
Jeez.
No, I've just been drinking a little bit of whiskey, and, you know, when I drink whiskey, I get fired up.
So Rocco's I think Big Poppy's going to be a little tipsy on this show.
I definitely am tipsy, but I'm going to try and clean it up.
So Rocco, what if Popoff Vodka, the shittiest vodka in the world, came to you and said, Rocco, I'm going to give you $3 million a year to promote Popoff Vodka. Would you do it?
$3 million a year? Man, I'd rather fuck a dude, bro.
I was not expecting that answer.
Oh, I love it when you've been drinking like this. I love it.
And
our other sponsor is, as always, At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed. Yeah. Ooh, the first ever romance novel for dudes. The funniest book ever written in the history of goddamn literature. If you don't have it, go get it. It's on Kindle. It's on hardback. It's on fucking Audible. It's everywhere. Get that motherfucker.
I love when he does the Ross voice. Get that motherfucker. I fucking fuck.
Yes.
Good
a good Ross. I told somebody the other day was like, dude, I just got your book. And I was like, great. After you finish reading it, slam your dick in the book because that's the only way you're going to feel alive again. He agreed with me.
I almost spit beer on that one. That was good.
Oh, my God.
He definitely agreed with me. What are we drinking tonight over there, kids?
Dude, we're actually going to be as honest as always. We're backlogged on podcasts, so we're doing a two a day right now. So, oh shit, Ross, you still there?
Oh, I am. Oh, I'm Sorry. Definitely here.
I was getting sexted.
Were you really? Were you really Jesus getting sexted? Christ. You know how many times that happens to you during the podcast?
I'm just lucky to be so right? close to him and hopefully watch this
shit. No, but we had a lot. We had to log in some podcasts. It's been a little bit. And we had like a 2.5 hour waiting time.
Oh, God.
And we're logging number two for the night. And it's just Ross, Rocco, and myself. And so we're drinking
just the threesies. Where's Jared, by the way? Tell the audience where Jared is.
That's some thirsty
Jared right now is at drill, and he's actually doing, I think it's a week-long drill, 7 days or something like that. But I got several text messages from him. He's walking in the snow with a heavy-ass ruck, and he said, after 3 days, now I'm in great shape.
And the fucked up part is he probably is.
I believe it. He probably has a two-pack showing up out of fucking all that fat that was just hiding it.
If he comes home and has dropped that 80 pounds he picked up, I will be shocked.
I'll believe it, dude.
I want a picture of it.
You haven't seen it. That guy is amazingly fucking, he's got insane recovery.
You know, the funny thing is, as much as we make fun of him for being fat, like, he's actually not that fat. Like, he could drop that weight in, like, 8 minutes.
Hey, that's the weird thing about him.
Jared's
like, he's really
if you ever
shape.
Look at an old picture of Jared, he's, like, a really skinny, fit dude. Like, he's never, like, I don't think Jared could ever be, like, a super athletic dude, but, like, if Jared wanted to, in 3 months, you'd be like, God damn, it's a good-looking dude, you know?
Yeah, he's got... Yeah.
He would trim his unibrow, he'd exactly. lose a little bit of weight, and then he'd be
he could shower. He could shower. Yeah, he could shower once,
shower
once every
few
week.
Times, he's good to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's good to go, but we miss him. We miss
of
him.
And, big time.
I mean, I'm looking at a I can't even say it. A picture of Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinky.
It's like a...
Oh, the
tongue twister right there.
His fingers are like sausages.
They're so small.
So,
Jared, if you're listening, we miss and love you, buddy.
We miss you more than you even know, bro.
Rocco misses you inside him.
We really do. We miss that French
press. He's never
press.
Inside me. He's never inside me.
He didn't split that pelvis?
I've been inside
him. You're going to be the one that mounts him. You're going to be the one that mounts him.
We keep talking about it. It never acts. It's like sexting, and you get all the anticipation, but he never wants to go through with it.
Dude, Ross, you said Super Bowl episode. Where are you trying to go with this?
Seriously.
Oh, boy. Here's the thing. You know I'm in Wilmington, North Carolina. So the hype around the Carolina football team right now is strong. The Cam Newton
the old
hype.
Cam Newton.
Is strong. Those pants he showed up in walking out of the plane the other night, the leather ones, you know the ones I'm talking about, Rocco.
Yeah.
They've been all over the news. Versace. They look like Nicki Minaj's backup dancer's pants.
No shit, man.
And even with all of that hype, they've only lost one game this year to my beloved Atlanta Falcons. I am still going for the Denver Broncos this weekend.
You're
going for the Denver Broncos.
You are a good man. You know, I I grew up, my mom went to college in Denver. I was a LA Rams fan way back in the day. And then when they went over to St. Louis, I changed teams. This is when I was like fucking 9 because I grew up watching football to become a Denver Broncos fan. I ended up living in Denver for quite some time. Huge, huge fan. that's my team. So thank you, Ross. Because, I mean, Cam Newton's got the hype, but we got the Denver defense, the good offense. It's going to be a good game, I hope. I mean, and I hope
Broncos I know. I hope so, too. I really hope so, too. And, there's rumors that this might be Peyton's last ride.
All right.
Is last ride.
Can I speak on that, though, real quick?
You can.
Because, okay, if the Denver Broncos win the fucking Super Bowl,
yep.
Peyton Manning, retire. Fucking
please.
Retire.
Walk away on top.
Don't fucking Brett Favre it. Don't do anything. Yep. Who were we talking about the other day? You have to go up on top, and it's like
you have to try to go out on top. Even his brother, by the way, Eli Manning said there's nothing more than I would love to see than my brother win the Super Bowl and then go
and
out on
fucking
top.
Fucking be done because you're a legend.
Yes.
Didn't John Elway do that?
John Elway is like the one person that did that, and he's the manager.
So I'm saying very
of
few
Denver
dudes
Broncos.
Have got. Dude, my Michael Jordan had the chance, and then he comes back. And
I want to play baseball.
Oh man,
God, dude! Like walk away.
By the way, Rocco, that was heartbreaking. He went off on a dream Nike commercial with that game winner against Utah, Game 6.
Everything about that, even after the shot, his reactions were perfect. Like, motherfucker, walk away. Walk away.
All of it.
Right into the sunset and say, thank you, motherfucker. Thanks for coming later. And then he does all the other weird shit. And he's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah. And hey, Rocco, like, if we were shooting a movie about Michael Jordan and that was the ending, it would still take 3 takes. He did it in 1, and he should have just left the court like a fucking champion.
Exactly.
Instead, he came back 2 years later about JT's weight class. And just
yeah, dude.
And that, and the sad thing is that's all I think of. Like,
well, dude,
and he was one of the great. Like,
he tried the minors as a fucking in the White Sox minor leagues.
Embarrassing,
dude. And it's like he wasn't good. He fucking went back and he was a number 45. Like, bro, you ruined your legacy of number 23. That was a jersey that my brother had on his back as a kid because of what he's done. And then,
but Rocco, if you remember correctly, he went back to 23 and then won 3 more titles, and that was a nice thing he did.
God. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but it was that Washington Wizards stint that got him, where it was like, oh hey, I own the team, because he retired.
That's right.
And owned the team, and then came back and said, guess what? I'm now not the owner. I'm going to play and show you guys how to win. And it was like your dad getting out in the driveway with you after all those years. You're just like, oh, no, Dad.
I think psychologically, for anybody that's very successful, it's hard to walk away when you're on top. And I think the perspective behind it, it's like if you win the Super Bowl, right? You won the fucking Super Bowl. Like, take it for Peyton Manning. You win the fucking Super Bowl. Like,
open that beer.
I just won the Super Bowl. I can do this again. Yep. That's what our kind of rational thinking would be.
It's the same as us,
dude. Like,
I think I've said this in other podcasts. It's the same as us. We go overseas, have a blast, come back, and we're civilians, and we're like, man, I miss going overseas. And then some guys go contracting, some guys reenlist, some guys, you know what I mean? I think it's the same. They're experts in their crafts, right? You know what I mean? And you want to, even though you go out and on top, you want to go back and do it again.
Of course, because no matter how old you get, you always feel like the mentality of being 25 again. Like, bullets can't touch me. I can still shoot that fucking free throw from the fucking...
I still feel like I can go in and fight in the ring, and realistically, competitively, no. There's no fucking way. I'm old in the world of fighting, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
So let me ask you guys this. If in your mind right now, could you go back overseas and you think you could still fuck shit up like you could when you were 20?
Oh, dude, I think what happened at
have
our
you
age,
looked at me lately?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I could.
I think that's what I'm saying.
Like, looking at both of you in real life, I look at you guys and I'm like, oh, shit. These are still two fucking badasses who could go and fuck shit up if they had to.
Yeah.
But only you guys are going to know that in your own mind, same as Peyton Manning.
Yeah, realistically, like, I would have to definitely pick up my cardio because I know how it is carrying all your plate carriers and all your ammo and all that stuff. But I mean, at my age right now, my rank, dude, I wouldn't actually be doing the fucking door kicking. I'd be kind of facilitating movement for the group or making sure the boys are good. So it's a little different. At our age, we'd be probably a higher rank, and we'd be doing a different position where more we're facilitating movement for the group and not actually kicking doors.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if you really, truly look at it, it's like the older you get, the more understanding of life that you have of whether you, whatever. But yeah, I could definitely go back, dude, Ross. But nah, man, like the older you get, the
you
more
wouldn't be the same is what you're saying, Matt.
Nah, man, the more educated you get, I can make more of a difference being in this shit I'm doing now rather than, you know, kicking down a door, you know? I mean, not gonna lie, if CAG was like, hey, we got an opening in B Squadron, you want to fucking be an assaulter? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, I think we'd all take a shot at that. It's like Rookie of the Year. Like, yeah, I'd definitely take a shot at the fucking title and let's go kicking some doors.
What about you, A. Ross? If someone was like, hey, we'll throw you in a stack. We'll give you 6 months of weapons training. You can jump in the stack of a soft unit. What would you do it?
Here's the honest answer of that. At my age, same with you guys. Like, I think as younger, yeah, I could have absolutely done it. I think there's limitations. You know, when you get in your 30s, you're like, fuck, man. You want to do things, and your body won't do the same shit it used to. And I think it's knowing that mentally, where you have to make the decision yourself of like, all right, cool. Am I going to be a fucking idiot and just dive into something and probably get crushed? Or am I going to make the smart decision and say, you know what? God damn it. As much as I hate to say it, my best days are probably behind me as far as, you know, physical shit goes.
Go ahead, Roth. Let me finish. No, I'm going to say this, man. Like, I don't say my best days are behind me. I think that time in my life is behind
me. But no one ever wants to say that, Rocco, that's the issue.
But what I'm saying is
that probably Peyton's going through right now.
I feel like more like I have fought that war, and I'm more worried about the shit we have to deal with here in the United States, man. And I want to be here for the family. I want to be here for the kids. If I wanted to, man, I've seen some fucking special op dudes that are 34 that are monsters, dude. We know guys, Venikoff and guys like that are like physical specimens, but they maintained that and they decided to keep their life that in that manner. Dude, right. I'm not there anymore, dude.
I'll break it down this way. I think it's called like the book of life, right? So do you want one chapter that's the same thing the whole entire fucking, you know, your whole entire
book? The whole book is one chapter?
Yeah, or do you want to really...
Exactly.
It's sometimes when you read a really interesting chapter, it's so fucking hard to turn the page. It's so fucking hard. And it's the same thing with transitioning from a job or a lifestyle with anything. It's really hard to turn that page. But once you do, you kind of enjoy the next chapter. Like, I'm so fortunate of doing what I did, but, man, I deployed for 10 years. I'm good, you know, like... Sure, do I want to go back? Yeah, sometimes I do. I think I could be fucking better than a lot of people with some shit. But you can always try to live your life through one chapter. But ultimately, like, you want to look back and have, like, a comprehensive, diversified life, right? So, you know, there's shit in chapter one of my life that I would love to go do. I'd love to fucking be this alpha male dude that has all these cool experiences. But ultimately, my happiness has been so much better doing different things in life. Like, I've lived that life of deploying. You know, I did spend 10 years of my life doing that shit. So now I'm like, where can I go from here? Let's try business, you know? I'm going to fucking mess it up a lot. But it's a new experience. And that's what really makes life enjoyable for me, you know?
And a lot of people. And I think that's why a lot of people have a hard time of letting go of things that they did earlier in their career, is that they can't find something else later in life that makes them just as excited.
Absolutely.
And giving themselves new challenges all the time.
But I think it's a different excitement. Like, you know,
it is.
It's such a fucking cliche comment, but you're like, once you've hunted a human, there's no better excitement in the world. It's
God.
The truth, man. Like,
fact.
Like, you know, and not to tell war stories, but like when you're riding on the door of a 60 with your night visions, landing on the X of an objective, literally chasing down dudes with guns and shooting them in the fucking face, there's nothing that in your whole entire life, I don't give a fuck, will ever fulfill that. That is the epitome of like masculine shit, you know, like that you're okay.
God damn it. I knew it, Matt. I had this conversation with my wife. I was like, dude, murdering, killing someone's that's the last frontier. That's it. That's as high as you can go, right?
Well, dude, base it off like emotional components. Like women have, you know, estrogen, we have testosterone. Testosterone is based off being an alpha male. You always, any guy you meet that's like, I'm a fucking man, it's proving yourself.
Women give life, men take life.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
And I think the biggest thing to like associate that with would be like MMA fighting, right? You beat the fuck out of another dude in the ring, and you win, right? So that's a pretty gnarly thing. But when you kill someone and know that their whole entire existence has ended, that's it. and you saw that. Not like I shot a building and we killed some people. You, Guy A tried to shoot you, and you fucking killed him because you were better. Nothing is more fulfilling in your life. And it's fucked up if anybody wants to say, well, what if this...
Have you ever read the book Angels and Demons?
It's great. It's crazy, man. So
he gets a blowjob, and right when he comes, he cuts her throat. He slits her throat.
Really?
He calls it the ultimate finish.
That's fucking gnarly.
It's gnarly as shit. I wouldn't do it, but I think about it.
are we talking about Angels and Demons, the Dan Brown book?
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's exactly what it is. He talks about there's the guy who the crazy killer in it.
He
talks about the ultimate finish, and he's getting a blowjob from a chick. As he comes, he fucking slits her throat, and that's the ultimate finish in his opinion.
That's the darkest thing I've ever heard.
That's fucking right. Hey, I didn't think of it. It was fucking that Brown book, whatever his name was. Yeah.
hey, look, I. Dude, and at night she cries while he rides his seat. The guy goes over and fucks the dude's wife for not looking after his kid. And then he comes and makes the guy look into his eyes because he wants to own his soul. That's some dark shit, too.
That's so fucked
well,
up.
His wife. Welcome to Drinking Bros.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Drinking Bros. Did we already talk about our sponsors?
I actually like the way this has turned tonight.
Yeah. It went dark. It went real dark.
I like the way this has turned tonight. And by the way, do you know one of my favorites? Things about you guys as friends in real life is you guys have other shit in your lives that you both love and you both care about.
Yeah.
Like Rocco, for instance, for you, I've never seen somebody so passionate about their kids, raising their kids, being the best dad they can possibly be. And your posts about, you know, being at your son's wrestling matches, even though he finishes second, which I wouldn't post that, but you do. honestly, like, it's inspiring because everybody sees you as a huge, you know, a big guy. Like, oh my God, he's you know, tatted up. He's probably, you know, harder than life. And you're not. You're like a big teddy bear who loves his children more than life itself. And you have something else to live for. And it's fucking awesome to see.
Dude, I'm gonna tell you, man. It took me a long time to actually acknowledge that myself. In my past marriage, man. I think I expected my wife to take care of the kids and Big Poppy to fucking take care of the bills. And that's kind of what I expected, and I think that's what I thought what life was. And then I went through my divorce and everything, and I became a single father and realized, damn, man, my kids are more important than anything in this life. And so I guess I see it differently now, and I think a lot of people see it the same way. I personally didn't see it that way until I finally was kind of cornered to raise them on my own. And when I did that, man, then I realized how important just simple shit is showing up to their fucking volleyball game or wrestling match or baseball game what was. And so I definitely try and take pictures while I'm there, and I try and document it because I want that shit to last forever, man, because Big Poppy's not going to be around a while.
And by the way, yeah, you'll be here for like at least 15 more years.
Nine.
Maybe 20. See. Yeah, I'll call it 4.
No. But by the way, I feel the same way because I have a child now, and you know, earlier on in my career, I was like, fuck, if I don't do 3 movies a year, like you're worthless. You're fucking worthless. And then as you get older, you're like, man, you know, you have a child, you get married, and you're like, because I love my child the same way that you do, and it's like, you know, I'd really like to cut that back to 1 movie a year. You know, spend more time with him, watch him grow, enjoy all of his life, because I'm not going to get it back. You know, I can't get that time back.
Yeah, man. That's something man, that's funny. You're saying, I was thinking about that today. It was like doing the drive here. I hit traffic and I was just in my head thinking about dumb shit. And that's exactly it. It's like there's a lot of time in their lives that I've missed. They didn't acknowledge it. They don't really give a shit because all they think is like dad's working. But I know I missed it. I know I miss birthdays. I know I miss fucking important days like ballet recitals and shit like that. And so it eats me up because it's like those are things that the memory in the picture, I'm not there, man. And I'd rather be in that picture during their ballet recitals, their graduations and shit like that or whatever it is. And so, yeah, I do my best. I do my best to be at every important event in their lives.
Can I be your 5th kid?
Yeah, go. Yeah, you know you can be.
I really need. but we
all can't be there, man. I mean, there's things like bills and everything that has to be paid. So I understand that as well. And so that's why I preach a lot about balance and trying to find it. And shit, I'm still dealing with it myself. So it is what it is, man. But goddamn, those kids definitely are motivation to try and be the best man I possibly can be, man.
Yeah, no, and it's a cool thing to see, but again, I don't think a lot of people have, you know, those kind of things to look forward to in life, and that's why we got started on the whole Peyton Manning topic of can you go out on top, can you let go of something that you've loved for so long, and find something else that you're happy about. because, you know, most athletes leave the game and it's they don't know what to do with themselves. You know, most people leave the military for that example, and they don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, that's why we're talking that transitional piece so much, because it's like, I think it's applicable across the board, like whether you're a professional athlete, whether whatever the course is, it's like that whole book thing we're talking about, and not to beat this to death, but like, you know, there's a point in time where you're like, I'm going to go out and top in this fucking job that I'm doing, and then now how can I use those experiences to benefit in another, you know, portion of my life? So it's like, I mean, you look at who were you talking about, the manager of the Denver Broncos?
John Elway.
Like, went out a legend, and now he manages the Broncos and is taking them on a winning streak. Like, that's what life is about right there, is ending a career on a great note, and it doesn't always work that way, obviously.
The next objective, then, man. Yeah, we talk about that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's others. Like, my wife has this theory that no athlete, musician, or artist can ever leave at the top of their profession.
They never do. Why is that? I know.
We'll get into this, because she was a diehard Derek Jeter fan of the Yankees.
Oh my God!
He got older.
Hey, he's the man, though. Hands down,
he is the man. But in the year before he retired, he was making a simple routine grounder, and it appeared as if his leg broke off his body for no reason, just because of sheer age or whatever. And he came back to play the next year. She's like, oh, God, don't do it, Derek. Don't come back and play.
Yeah, but he didn't end on a good note, bro.
He ended on an okay note. You know, he had an average season look, he was fucking 40 at that point.
Yeah.
But if you remember the last game at Yankee Stadium, he hit a game-winning RBI to win the game, and they surrounded him at first base. That motherfucker went out a hero.
I'm going to tell you this, man.
So he went up pretty good.
That is the one baseball player in this whole world that has had probably the most blessed career ever. That guy hit,
ever.
His career. Yeah. You can't even say it was him, because he was just surrounded by such amazing ball players. But his rookie season to his next season, I mean, guy was title after title after title after title. But also as well as just being surrounded by some of the most amazing ball players in his time to continue to have the success throughout the years. If any child in our age, Ross, would ask to be any ball player, that's the life you want to live, Derek Jeter.
100%. Derek Jeter. I mean, look, he played for 20 years at the Yankees, the best franchise there is, won, you know, 4 or 5 World Series rings, dated every single girl on the fucking planet, gave them signed baseballs.
I'm not a baseball fan, but yeah.
No, but Matt, I don't know if you know this story, but he gave him autographed baseballs on his one-night stands when they left the apartment.
No shit.
Dude,
true story.
So here's he's one of the guys that's such a class act that every fucking, all the chicks he had sex with, all the girls he ever hooked up with, they never had anything bad to say about the guy. He's just like,
no,
he's a good dude.
Nobody's got any dirt on the guy. No one has any dirt on the guy whatsoever.
He's just a good dude, bro.
I know. He's just a good dude. This is what giving out baseballs.
Drinking Bros with Ross and Rocco turns into fucking sports announcing ESPN on this
motherfucker. No, look, because I think this goes, Matt, I think this applies to musicians as well, where it's like, would we look at our musical heroes the same
conversation, of course. I mean, you look at Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan. The best artists go out and top. Nirvana.
But here's the thing. They died, so they didn't get a chance to be shitty.
Right, and they went out
on top.
I think that's them coming out on top.
That's the fucking thing, because we all wanted at least one or two more albums. Like Stevie Ray Vaughan, my favorite artist of all time.
Love Stevie Ray Vaughan.
He got clean off of coke and drugs, had about 2 years of solid touring, was starting to work on a new album, and then died in a helicopter crash. Out of fuck. Not Dallas.
Yeah.
He died in a helicopter crash. But it's like, you wanted more, but you didn't get more. But now he's a legend. Why? Because he never had that, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I know.
I've never been a big music fan to the point where I know all the details. Like, you guys really know this shit. And I really don't. But, like, the hip-hop world is probably more my thing, but...
Well, it's like Tupac then,
right?
You know, and
right,
Biggie.
Exactly.
Tupac.
They went out legends while they died.
Legends.
Eminem is still crushing it every day, but he's mm-hmm. not pop culture Dude. Anymore. So there,
people, if he died though, if he died right now, then people would lose their shit.
That's exactly my point. If you don't die in dramatic fashion, in the in the music industry, you're not a legend, which is so weird. When the recently, who was the Stone Temple Pilots lead singer? Ross?
Scott Weiland.
Scott Weiland. He died.
But it was after the fact. Exactly. It was in his decline. Yeah,
but you know what? That still was like, dude, he died fucking doing this thing, man. But
I feel it's like a dark conversation because it's like promoting death, but like you want them to live long, happy, full lives and go out with their fucking families, but in pop culture doesn't see it that way, you know? It's kind of a fucked up.
No, they don't. And you know what? You know what, Matt? I worked with a I did a movie with a famous musician. I'm not going to say who it is. But he dropped his theory on this whole, you know, is it better to burn out or fade away thing? And he said, look, if I wish Lil Wayne would die right now. Oh. And he's like, not that I want him to die because I dislike him or, you know, I think he's a bad person or whatever. But he goes, if he died right now with the wealth of material he has, he would go out as probably one of the greatest rappers of all time. Probably because he's got, you know, 6,000 songs in his vault.
Yeah.
And they would just keep coming out for the next 20 years. Oh, like, and you'd be like, oh, shit.
Like Tupac, where we thought he was alive, the Machiavellian
shit. Yep, exactly.
I see no changes. It was like, wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself?
I would say, dude, here's the only problem I have with Lil Wayne.
I don't like him.
In them fucking tight-ass goddamn pants that everyone else is doing now. Dude, Ross, we're talking about this gym. It's like, that fad, that tight, skinny jean fucking fad is going to a point where I can't take it anymore.
But it's not even like...
I can't get behind it either.
I wear fitted jeans sometimes, and I'll go, fuck it. They can look decent on...
Fitted.
But when you... Like, the guys in the gym, and I think we talked about this podcast before, it's like a thing here. It's like skin-tight spandex, like, that you look at girls. So it's like, you see somebody bent over in the water fountain, it's a fucking dude with, like, spandex.
Yeah.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
I fucking hate it. When sagging and all the way down to their ass, it's just the whole thing is fucking...
We know where sagging started from, right? It was in jail to let other dudes know, I'm jail, down to get fucked. That's what sagging started from.
I don't know if that necessarily is true or they started that to fucking... as a rumor.
It's part of the jail scene, though.
It is part of the jail scene, but I would tell you, it's like, growing up, that was very common just to make your pants look baggy. Like, I wear 38s now, and I wore 38s in high school, and I don't know if that was just like... It just looked more, it was like, I don't know, that was just style. If you didn't wear baggy pants that big, you were made fun of. So I don't know where that all came from, because we're...
I think Matt is right. I think it's the jailhouse mentality of that, and then socks with sandals, where it's just like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you might be right.
Socks with sandals.
Are you going to commissary?
That's an LA thing,
what are we
dude.
Doing?
That's so fucking weird. Dude, it's weird. But now I guarantee in jail they're not wearing skinny jeans, goddammit.
No, they're definitely not. And look, that commissary food isn't as good as that Super Bowl food.
No,
I can tell you that. I can tell you that. What are you having for Super Bowl food over there, Rocco?
I hope it's fucking tacos for one, goddammit.
Let me ask you, does your wife make the Super Bowl meal over there, or do you go to a party?
No, so we have a really cool neighborhood, man, where we all hang out together. Like, Matt's witnessed this, that all the neighbors just kind of come together and just cook together. So at the neighbor's house right next door to mine, we're going to be hanging out there. I think Julie's going to be cooking the beans, oddly enough.
Of course.
He's just like me on big social events. Same thing, dude. We like to grab a beer, go out and sit by the barbecue, and we usually cook. That's our
just
thing, man.
Chilling, dude. So I'll be,
the girls have to clean, but we cook.
My neighbor,
neighbor
Chris.
I'm the same.
Yeah, my neighbor Chris likes to grill. He's really good. So you never go to another man's house and step on his grill. You let him do his thing.
No.
So
I'm gonna let him. He's burning the meat. You're just like, fuck it. This is your house, bro.
I let him do his thing. I drink
and then
him
you
got
to eat Chris's burnt shit.
And then you butt fuck
his house.
Then you butt fuck
his house.
No, he's like my second father. We don't butt fuck him.
No, but I'm not saying butt fuck him, but it's like, I'm eating this fucking turd burger that's real burnt, but it's like, yo, it's Chris's house, it's Chris's grill.
Like,
I told the motherfucker not to put it on
burger with like fucking kale Cajun sauce. You're just like, really?
Hey, everybody cooked good in that neighborhood, which is another blessing, dude. It's great shit, man.
Those fucking tacos, awesome. You make those, the blended meats that you get from the meat store, that shit's on point, dude.
Yeah, I make here in El Paso and some of the border towns, they make a taco called Descada. It's just a mixture of meat. It's very similar to like a...
So for the white people out there, discada is literally the leftover blended meats. It's a fucking Mexican thing.
But it's good as fuck, though, Rocco. Yeah, I had it at your house, and it was delightful. Like, people ate the shit out of
it's fucking really good food, man. So if you make it right, you know what you're doing, it tastes amazing, and it fucking can fill a whole goddamn fucking family of 30, and you're good.
It really can. And by the way, there was a night where you had us all over for a fight at your house. You had all the meats out, and then you got some extra, like 20 extra pizzas from Domino's, just in case, you know, more people were coming over or they were hungry. Nobody touched the fucking Domino's. They destroyed whatever that Mexican word you just said was in Spanish. Yeah. That meat was amazing. Yeah.
And you cook it in a disco.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's some cultured shit right there, man.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, we usually go to, you know, somebody in the neighborhood's house as well, and then bring a dish. My lady likes to cook the spin dip. The spin dip is...
What is that?
Is that spinach dip?
What's spinach dip?
Spinach dip.
Ooh,
yeah, she goes
lots
spinach and artichoke and a little sour cream
I
in it.
I love that shit, dude.
Same. I can eat it by the truckloads. I could bathe in it. It makes my skin better.
Check this out.
All of it.
I went to a party the other day, and this lady made some cheese dip. She used sausage, and she chopped it up really fine. So it was like just sausage meat itself. She cooked it on a frying pan. I'm going to go through this because I'm telling you, you guys need to try this.
This is like the drunk cooking show.
No, but this is great. And then she got the Velveeta cheese and melted it. So it's Velveeta cheese chopped up with small pieces of fucking jalapeno and red peppers. And then the fucking dude, it was so fucking good, Ross. I swear to you, I almost want to put that in a tortilla and just eat it straight. And all it is cheese and meat.
You're making me hungry, you fuck.
It sounds like queso fundido is what
similar. No, no, very similar to that. Good call, dude. God damn.
Yeah. I know my Mexican shit out in LA all these years.
Yeah, that's exactly where you got it from. Yeah.
I like how we're literally having the drunk talk show. We're just like, hey, let's talk about shit we like. So, you know, it's a funny thing, Ross. This is kind of what a lot of people don't see. Like, this is just us hanging out.
Really. Yeah,
it really is.
If you
want to
know
really
what Ross, Rocco, and Matt sound like, this is what's going on. We don't have bottom boy JT to talk about splitting a pelvis on a fucking tranny.
An uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah, it's great though. We miss them, but you know,
I'll be curious to hear the feedback on this one. I'm sure they'll be like, holy shit, they're real fucking people.
You guys are so normal. What the fuck?
We haven't talked about gay sex once since Jared.
Oh,
hasn't
dude,
been
I think
here.
You're right.
Not in this episode.
I think you're right.
We've gone real. This is the furthest we've ever gone in a Drinking Bros podcast where we haven't talked about gay sex.
That is very, very fucking true.
Yeah, because last podcast we talked about.
Should we
trannies.
Talk about blowing dudes or something?
It is. No, we shouldn't.
Listen, Ross, sometimes you got to suck a dick to make sure you're not gay. Like every time I do it once a month and
here's
I'm like, I fucking hate it. It's disgusting.
I have a thought. I've always like, have you ever felt like you weren't eating pussy right? Like,
no, I eat really good pussy.
No, wait.
No, what is
here's the thing.
What was that?
It's the same idea. No,
what the fuck
I'm gonna tell you,
that?
It's the same idea as if do women know if they're sucking dick right? Because a guy would know what a guy wants more. Because let's be real,
yeah.
A guy would know what a guy wants more, so a girl would probably know what a girl wants.
If you want to be honest,
that's what I'm being honest.
And I won't put this out there for my own relationship.
I want to hear this,
but like, I would say 9 out of 10 girls across the board, 90% of girls don't know how to give blowjobs.
Dude, you know what's so funny? They all think they know how to.
Dude, it's the worst. Dude,
I'll suck your dick so good.
I'm sure every girl at home, though, is like, dude, those guys don't know how to fucking eat pussy.
Right,
like,
I'd imagine, but
it.
Girls are totally different, but guys, bro. It's like, when girls, when they're sucking your dick, they give you that look, right? They're like, yeah. And then look up like it's good. You're like, ow, your fucking teeth are hitting me.
Oh, my God.
They're not even using their hand to do the fucking a blowfish on your dick. You're like, listen, grab my shaft with your fucking hand.
Stroke the dick.
Grab my balls and then suck the head. It's so funny, basic.
Dude.
Watch porn once
you know,
in your
whenever
life.
You say, whenever you say, somebody says that, you know, I think of that Sylvester Stallone story.
Yeah.
Grab the balls.
Yeah. And for those of you listening at home, there's a legendary story on every single movie set you go on, including Range 15. This was discussed. Of Sylvester Stallone left his mic on after a scene, went into a trailer with an extra, got a blowjob, and everybody could hear around Video Village was stroke the shaft,
cradle the balls,
stroke the shaft. So much so that they put it in Tropic Thunder. So if you go back and watch Tropic Thunder,
Jack Black
says
it.
Broke the shaft of Cradle of Balls.
A little good
Cradle
insider.
Cradle of Balls.
That's a great inside story, man. I love that.
But Rocco, this is one of my favorites. To my defense on that is because I've learned, like, I don't just eat pussy and then not expect myself to get the girl off. Like, right. I'm like, what do you like? So over
and
the
dude,
years,
and this is funny.
You learn. Whereas girls are like, guys like blowjobs. You're like, eh. And that's the thing, like, guys, like, every guy likes a blowjob. No, I've had some horrible blowjobs where I'm like, we should just watch the movie.
You know what's funny? Even a bad blowjob is a good blowjob, but it's still a bad blowjob.
No, I've had some really bad ones.
Wow.
Like teething. It's like a baby shark
coming in, so she's watched porn, but hasn't learned, so she's trying to unscrew the top with her fucking teeth.
It's more teeth than lips, so it's kind of like a... Like you're a confused look in your face.
Yeah,
mouth.
What part of that did you think would feel good?
No. You're not trying to rip the skin off my dick.
Are you trying to unscrew the top? Because that's my head of my penis, and that doesn't come off.
It doesn't come off. Ugh,
but Matt, I will say this. You have some weird habits and weird things that you like that you're a firm believer on. Like when you almost killed us in Sundance the other night.
What did you do? Wait, tell me. Six inches
of snow because you wanted to take a picture of Christmas lights. You want to explain that to the audience?
Did we slide across the fucking floor? Is that when it was? Or are you talking about something different?
No, yes.
No, we almost died so Matt can take a picture of some Christmas lights.
Ross, you want to tell the audience why? Ross is fabricating that a little bit. I mean, yeah, I hit a curb or so.
Oh, we slid off the fucking road. Wait. This is. Let me go and tell the story because I'm the in betweens.
Okay, get it.
So we tried. We had a front-wheel drive fucking rental vehicle.
A minivan.
It was a minivan. Yeah. And all four of us, by the way. All four Drinking Bros podcast members.
That's right,
were in it from Vegas to Sundance.
It was. And so somehow we got to the point where the snow was fucking coming down hard. We decided to go home back to fucking rest for the next day. And as we're driving, we start sliding a little bit.
Well, you missed that one because I was like, man, if you guys were in the car being bitches, I'd go way faster. And like right as I said that, I just slid the whole entire van into a curb. And
into
I was like,
curb.
Well, I guess I'm going slow.
I bashed it into a snow embankment.
It's a snow embankment. That's exactly what it was.
But yeah, and there was about 6 or 8 inches that fell, and then you pull out your cell phone and take a picture of a lit Christmas tree. On January 23rd. No. But I asked you. I said, Matt, what are you taking the picture of?
Well, that's the thing. So I got in a big argument with Melissa. Because she took the Christmas lights down. She's like, take the Christmas tree down before you leave for SHOT Show, which was like 2 weeks ago.
You still have the Christmas tree up?
No, I don't. But listen.
Wait, you still have the Christmas tree?
You leave the fucking Christmas tree up. You leave the Christmas lights up until the Super Bowl.
I've never heard that. That's not a Mexican thing. I'll tell you that.
No, because it buys you time. It gives you a month and a half, and then you take the Christmas fucking lights out.
Bro, if you did that in my house, it would burn on fire, and the house would go down, dude.
All right. All I know. So the reason I got that when I did executive protection for the president of Warner Brothers back in the day, that's what he did. They would come, all the workers, and they had a mansion. They would come on the day after Super Bowl Sunday, and they'd take the lights down.
I liked it.
It's a day where you get in those arguments.
It is. It is. I like it too.
That's actually good, but I like it. You know that you
need to take them down. Because it's like, baby, you're not taking the Christmas lights down. I like the fucking Christmas lights.
Yeah.
You know the day after the Super Bowl, take the fucking lights down. From now on,
that's what's going to happen in the Vargas household.
You have to.
Yeah.
Have
to. And by the way, Matthew, when you talked about that, I side with it. Because it is some rich shit where you're just like, oh, I'm going to have people over for the Super Bowl. I want the house to still look very festive. So you leave that shit up.
Exactly.
And I like it. It's a tasteful thing.
It's definitely a tasteful thing. It's a great idea.
Hey, Ross, though, you have to admit, though, I did find us an alternative route.
And we slid.
Because we slid down the hill. I found us a better route to go up because I couldn't make up the hill with the tires. Found us a better route and slid down.
You have no idea.
So
we slid about a half a mile down the hill just to get to the house.
About a half mile down the hill, we had no brakes. We only had the front two tires that were locked up. And we had Drake's We Made It on full blast in the car.
Yeah, that's good.
We made it with Soulja Boy on a remix.
Such a bad song.
It was Ninja We Made It.
Ninja.
Yeah, Ninja, we made it, and on full blast in the car. And I want to be honest, as we were heading towards our death, all I could think was, dude, if we died right now, like, at least I'd be laughing about it. You know? Like, and how do you explain that to a cop of, like, dude, we made it by Drake is on as these guys were killed.
I know they,
like,
they didn't make the crash
it. They definitely didn't make
it. Bodies everywhere. It's like, Ninja, we made it.
Yeah. And it's like, no those didn't. Guys You're, definitely didn't make
you
it.
You died before you went to Sundance in a minivan.
Yeah.
Ew.
God damn.
It was a white minivan. That's all they had available for from Enterprise. I will say this.
By the way,
we made the best. We made the best of that car trip,
Ross. $900.
You're kidding?
God.
Yeah, because I didn't turn it in the next 2 days.
We got snowed in for two.
An overcharge, $900. So have fun with that. I had to pay $900 for that fucking.
We got snowed
car.
In for two.
Oh no.
Ninja, we made it.
We made it. I'll give you some money, Matt. I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
It's a cool story. I just need to be funnier on the podcast so we can make some more money.
Yeah.
But I will say this. From getting a minivan in Vegas with the four of you guys, like the four of us in there, that was one of the funnest car trips I've ever had.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was good. It was cool because we had like the whole music thing. We all kept picking songs of our time and fucking things that. It was cool. It was a good time.
Dude, that
Jared was the only one, since he's not here, we can bag on him. He's the only one who listens to only Collective Soul from the 90s.
He's so weird.
He did not share in any of our recent music from past, 1999. But
dude, Ross, it's actually funny you bring that up, dude. I almost texted you from the gym today. The Yellow Wolf and Kendrick Lamar.
That's a great
jam, One
dude.
Train.
One train, dude. Who's that by?
Kendrick Lamar, ASAP Rocky,
yeah. Dude, what a good song. I listened to that in repeat for like fucking 15 minutes today. I love that. It's a good cardio song, man.
Hey, Ross, I just actually watched a Notorious B.I.G. movie, and I was thinking, what was that song that somebody made recently, and it was Notorious B.I.G. doing a freestyle behind the track?
Oh, dude, that was a mix with Kanye, actually, the guy that Matt hates.
What a fucking
Again,
good
Kanye,
jam.
If you want to fight for $50,000 going to charity, let's have
you'd have to up it to $50 million, I think.
I don't have that kind of money. I can barely make $50,000.
You'd still
50,
beat him, though. You beat him, though.
No, I would knock him out super
Yeah,
quick.
So then you should go for the 50
People don't
million.
Know I like to fight. I can fight a little
50
bit,
million.
Rocco.
We should go. I know you can fight.
MMA match, Kanye. Let's do it for charity, bitch. Let's go.
Yeah, by the way, Rocco, there's a bunch of sweet mixes out there on SoundCloud, actually. I'm not promoting SoundCloud or anything. We don't have shit to do with them, but there's a Biggie one and a David Bowie mix that's really, really great called Biggie Stardust. And then there's a Biggie one and a Kanye one behind, what the fuck is that song called? For the toast for the douchebags, toast for the assholes.
Yeah. You showed us that in the car. That was actually a good one.
It was a great one. Just send me if you can screenshot those for me so that I can download them. Honestly, those were amazing. But watching, it's funny, dude. Watching the fucking Notorious B.I.G. movie, it's pretty interesting because it's spoken as a Notorious B.I.G.'s perspective.
Yeah, did you like it? Because I love that movie, by the way.
I think it was great. But it's funny because I knew everything was going on. Dude, the girl who played Little Kim looked right on.
Identical. So did the wife, the Faith Evans.
So did Faith Evans, exactly.
Yeah.
I was telling Julie, I was like, dude, my God, these girls are fucking exactly what it would be. And the funny thing is, the guy who played Notorious B.I.G. was breathing just like Notorious B.I.G. does.
Dude, he was breathing heavy the whole thing, and I was like, dude, what was their sound mix like?
I know.
Because it was just all breath.
It was dead on, dude, but it was dead on.
That was like Hollywood Hurt on our channel.
Hey, Vince, I'm gonna take this a step further. They're shooting the Tupac biopic right now.
Oh, dude, I'm interested to see.
Wait,
damn.
But guess who's playing Biggie in it?
Who?
Same guy. Same fucking guy from Notorious.
Who's playing Tupac?
Dude, they got a guy that looks identical to him.
Good.
Yo, Ross, you sent me that photo. I legit thought that was Tupac. Crazy.
So did I. So did I. If you guys, if you Google the Tupac biopic and just Google pictures from the set, those two motherfuckers look identical to them, and I'm amped to see the Tupac.
And I'm gonna tell you right now,
they could have gone with somebody famous, and tried to paint him.
Well,
to look like
him. Well,
that's
what they did with fucking Notorious B.I.G. Because the guy who played Tupac was fucking way off, bro. The guy who played Puffy was way off too. And I was just like, that's what killed it for me. Because I'm like, man, these guys are nowhere near. But Kim and Faith killed it, dude. They were exactly almost dead on what I
thought. Yeah, they crushed it.
Yeah, dude. It was fucking that's why I just didn't like the fact that it's funny because Notorious B.I.G., I'm interested to see if he actually wrote that somewhere, the shit he was saying about Pac. I'm interested to see if he actually wrote that somewhere, what he was saying, like his perspective on Tupac, and if that's real, what actually went down. Because who the fuck killed Tupac? Who the fuck killed fucking Biggie? Still in question.
You know, I think that Notorious pick, because it was Puff Daddy was involved, Biggie's mom was involved, and I think Tupac's mom was involved too, to a certain extent.
Nice.
They involved her in that, and I think vice versa, they're involving the family of Biggie and the one of Tupac to tell this one. I kind of believe the Notorious one, where it was like, you know, he got killed by that guy, and that's at least that's the guy in the police reports.
Did you ever see the Notorious B.I.G.? We're getting crazy in this podcast, but the interview of him after Pac died, he literally goes, I feel death. It's coming for me. He's like, I'm going to get killed. It was like an MTV interview. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen because he knows he's going to die. Like, you can see his brain searching for an out because he's like, maybe I can live, but he was like, no, I know they're coming for me. I know I'm going to die. And then he died about 2 weeks later.
Why go to LA is my question, unless you want to die. Because why risk it? Why not wait a couple years for shit to die down and then go?
Stubbornness.
Because we're all idiots, dude. We're alpha males.
I mean, I would have been in LA. So I would have been saying,
I'm not going to fucking shy away from that bitch. I'm going to show up and fucking do my thing, dude.
Yeah, hey, but that leads back to the Peyton Manning thing. Is it better to burn out or fade away?
No, I don't know. Exactly what it leads to.
It's the same
dude.
Thing like me getting pissed off. I'm not on the ISIS hit list. I'm like, all my friends are. I'm not on the ISIS hit list. I'm like, I'm me. Come on. What the fuck?
I'm good.
Matt, look, if you work hard enough in this life, you will be on the ISIS hit list.
All right. But I'll probably work for it and I'll get shot in the head at some fucking bar from asshole with like a goddamn, you know, a Ruger 22.
Yeah,
I know. Hey, by the way, do you ever think of that?
The rest of my life? What?
Do you ever think of that? Of like, dude, I've done all this crazy shit in my life. I don't want to die like a pussy in some weird way where it's like you got shot in the grocery store picking up a can of Gerber.
No, but that's how I will go out, man. I will go out by in a car accident. I'll go out in a fucking some asshole like that. Yeah, that's how I go. I mean, I can't top what I've done in my life.
That's
so.
A big thing for me, too. Is like, dude, I'd hate to go out in a car accident, Jay. I feel like
that would be. I don't want to drown either. Car accident, I don't want to drown.
That's
I don't want to drown.
Drowning is such a big fear of mine.
It's so easy, dude. You just suffocate. I don't want
to
burn
it. No, it's not. It lasts like, you know, a minute or so.
I've heard it's the most
peaceful. Because you can still hold your breath.
It's one of the most peaceful ways to go.
I don't want to.
No way. No fucking way.
You're being a bitch.
I'd rather go carbon dioxide poisoning and just not know what happens.
I would go out on pills, I think. I think I'd go out on pills and just enjoy my shit and then just go to sleep. I think Rock, if you wanted to be honest, I think Rocco's going to die texting The Rock, like trying to get a hold of him on Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah.
And then he's just going to fall over. And then, but when the police come, The Rock is actually going to respond to him and be like, hey, bro.
Hey, dude, I love your shit.
It's
I love
me.
Your
let's hang.
You're such an inspiration. And he's dead.
Oh,
he's like,
man.
The Rock's FaceTiming.
Yeah, The Rock knows who I am. He knows who I am.
and he's just, Rock has passed out.
He knows who the fuck I am.
You think?
No, he doesn't know who the fuck I am.
Yeah, no. Maybe.
And look, if we're thinking of shitty ways, to die, if I had to watch like Mall Cops 2 and I died during that would be my ultimate, like, my worst fucking nightmare.
Right?
Would be,
like watching Paul Blart in a fucking Segway. That's how you go out?
God.
Jesus Christ, man.
Like the least comedic thing of all time. Of like, hey, congratulations, Ross. You were a funny motherfucker, but guess what you died to? Mall Cops 2.
Yeah. Paul Blart was
Paul
taking
Blart.
The shit
Blart.
In the fucking American Mall. That's how you went out.
Oh, God. Hey, let's pick it up on that note. Let's go to the drinking bro of the week.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. I got a special one. It's to a guy named Jeffrey Rhodes.
Hey.
He is, he is currently fighting cancer. His buddy actually wrote in and told us this story. He was reading At Night She Cries during chemo. He thought it would lift his spirits if we mention him, which we are. But his buddy also said that he lost a ball. And I want to say that you weren't so much of a friend on that one. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, but I got to admit, Lance Armstrong lost a ball, and he's a stud.
Here's the thing. You can lose a ball.
There's a whole future ahead of you, buddy.
You can still ball out. You can still ball out. So to his friend his name is Mitch Starnes. Mitch, you were trying to maybe shame him a little bit, but I'm kidding you, Mitch. You're a beautiful man. Thank you for writing in. And let him roll with that ball. Like, he'll still kill it. He'll still kill it.
Well, we love you, dude. Thanks for fucking being a stud and beat the fuck out of that cancer.
To Jeffrey Rhodes, dude, fuck cancer. Beat it. Thank you for listening to the podcast, drinking our whiskey, reading our books. We love you so much, and we're all pulling for you over here.
Fuck yeah, brother.
Fuck yeah, brother.
And on that note, for Matt Best, Rocco, and Ross Patterson, this is a good night. This was a nice podcast.
It was simple and mellow. I like it.
It was. I liked it. I think people will enjoy this shit. We'll find out later.
I know. They'll probably hit.
Fuck you, fuck. Oh, fuck you,
love
guys.
You, bro.
Love you.
We miss JT.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.